My next guest, longtime Chicago writer, producer, performer, I mean, pretty much Renaissance woman. She's done everything. Amy Krause Rosenthal is a New York Times best-selling children's author. If you have kids or read to said kids, then you know Amy's work. The Little Pea, Spoon, I Wish You More, just to name a few. But she's also penned books for adults, like her memoir, Encyclopedia of an Ordinary Life, and her newest book, Textbook, Amy Krause Rosenthal. It's going to be released this Tuesday, August 9th, and to celebrate, Amy will be holding a day-long gathering from 8:09 a.m. to 8:09 p.m. at her favorite place in Chicago, at The Bean, Millennium Park. There will be readings, performances, friends, a 12-hour marathon to celebrate the launch of this book. Amy Krause Rosenthal is in studio with me tonight. Good to see you.
You too, Justin.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So, okay, so let's talk about this. This is kind of, it's not a memoir, but it's almost a follow-up to Encyclopedia, which has been, it's been like 10 years now.
Yeah, 10 and change.
What made you write this book?
Oh, I had to write another book. And the thing about it not being exactly a memoir is that I feel like even starting off with that word is tricky, because it's, if only I could take off, it's not as much about me as it's about everybody. It
right.
is partly about me, but it's about us, all of us humans. And so I just wish that we could take off the M-E in memoir and just call it a moir. That would be better.
It's a new genre, right?
Yeah, moirs.
Well, I mean, I would say the same thing about your other books, about the Book of 11 and Encyclopedia, is that they're not the traditional memoir. And it's like, I grew up here. I mean, it's really about your thoughts and your creativity about things that are surrounding you.
And they're nonlinear, right? That's a theme.
Right.
It's not taking you from A to B to C.
Right. There's no teen years for Amy Krause Rosenthal in this book. I was hoping I'd get the when I was a teenager part, but there wasn't.
Spared you.
It's okay. So the book is textbook, and it's set up in a way that is almost like an idea of a textbook. It takes on different chapters, and the chapters are history, social studies, language arts, math, and there's really great, you know, the messages that are in different chapters are things like this. Let me just pull out some of this stuff for social studies.
Okay.
Right. I like this one a lot. There was a time when I did not fully understand the concept, pervasiveness, and tentacles of sadness. I can point to a precise spot and moment. I had a first inkling that the landscape around the bend was probably going to change. Still vast and vastly beautiful, but maybe with more parched patches than I was accustomed to. I was at a movie theater in Boston in the fall of my freshman year of college. One of the characters said, "I haven't met that many happy people in my life. How do they act?" It took some recalibrating in my mind and shifting in my seat to make sense of the line. Aha, I realized. This character must not be unusual. I love it. I love it because it's a memoir in the sense that it's talking about your life, but it's relatable.
It's a moment
that all of us have at some point.
And wait, we got you the teen thing. I was a teen there.
That's why I grabbed it.
Okay. Do you know what movie it was,
what
by
movie?
The way? Can you? Nah.
What is it?
The Big Chill.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was what's her name? Meg Tilly's character. Yeah.
So for you, you know, as you said, you had to write another book. Why write it in this style? Why write it like a textbook?
Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, the had thing is more, you know, that's me being kind of silly. Like, I wanted to, and I'm supposed to as a writer, right?
Mm-hmm,
I'm supposed
mm-hmm.
to keep making books. And the challenge for me was I wanted something that would go with Encyclopedia. I wanted to do like a follow-up and that it would be like a cousin, right? And something that wasn't going to be a sequel, it wasn't going to be a prequel, but I wanted it to be an equal. That was my sort of like mantra. And anyways, long story short, I didn't want to do volume 2 Encyclopedia. So it took me a long time to figure out what could a companion book be. Like, people have guessed like, oh, you're going to do a dictionary, or you're going to do an almanac, or this, that. So far, nobody's guessed the textbook concept. But when I hit upon it, I was super excited because it really made sense to me. I could use those themes that you said, like the subject in school, for like general riffing, as you know
right?
It's not like sometimes it's a loose interpretation of why I've put something in that particular chapter.
Right. Social studies is really, I mean, it's actually a better way to describe social studies, what you write about, than the actual social studies.
Right. And social studies is the most sort of, that is a very clear connection between the subject matter and filing for social.
Right.
It's like, for example, like the geography stuff is sometimes very loose. Like, what's that? Oh, maybe it's because she walked into the wrong room. Like, I put that in geography.
Right. Or math. Math is a lot of situations that are, you know, add this, multiply this, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know, for you, I always wonder, and you've been so prolific as a writer for both writing for adults and for children. Is it difficult to go back and forth? Because, you know, you'll write picture books for, like I mentioned, Lil P and I Wish You More. I mean, these books are so successful, and they're books that, like I said, if you have any, if you have kids, you know it. You're listening right now, you know it. Is it hard for you to, as a writer, to make that transition from writing stuff for adults and writing stuff for children?
No, what would be harder for me would be to focus on one thing at a time. I'm usually working on all of it at once. So, I've been working on this book for many years. It took me a long time for it to come to be what it is. And in the midst of all that, I am working on the children's book. So it's kind of, for me, having multiple projects going really helps me. The ideas sort of feed into one another, and it keeps me from getting too plugged or blocked.
How do you organize that? I mean, how do you having multiple projects as a writer? Because we'll have writers in here who say, okay, I'm doing 4 hours on this book, and this is how I'm going to write today. How do you organize yourself to be successful in doing multiple projects at a time?
Okay, well, I don't organize them. It's not about, like, I'm going to be successful in the thing. The organizing is more the, let's see, every day, pretty much from the beginning, before I was even published, I think it's the same thing for me. I would take, when I started, you and I go way back, so mm-hmm. you know, when I started writing, my kids were really small, and I had a very finite period of time where I could work every day, right? The sitter was there, I had X amount of time, a small sliver. It's like, what am I going to do? So I would just go, right. I didn't know what it was, and that hasn't changed a lot. I use every day to just kind of sit there. I look at my different projects, the different books. I'm going back and forth. And for me, that process is, it's rich. That's the way I like to work. I think it would not work for me to focus on one thing at a time.
You know, for you, I mean, you mentioned, you know, as your kids are older now, I mean, you're in a position where, you know, your life has changed. Has your writing changed? Do you feel as you get older, has your work evolved?
Well, I sure hope it hasn't devolved. Whether it's evolved.
That's my follow-up question.
Yeah.
And how has it evolved? Maybe it's a better question.
Let's see. I mean, what can I... I don't know. I hope it has. People that have read textbooks say that it sounds like it's... that it is the same person who wrote Encyclopedia, but a little bit older, which I'm glad, because I am. I'm 10 years older. And so I hope that that's how it reads
for you. And I've known you for so long, and tell me how you got into writing. I mean, because you know, you and I feel like you were in advertising when you started.
Yeah, I was.
And this was we've known each other for almost 20 years. You know, think about late 90s, early 96, 97, we started working together. I feel like, is that how it came? You came from advertising?
I came from advertising, and then I started doing a little bit on the side, because like in advertising, everybody seems to be doing something. Someone's in a band, someone's making t-shirts, someone's doing this thing. So I started doing a little bit of writing on the side for magazines. The first one was, you may recall, was Might Magazine, Dave Eggers' first magazine. Before McSweeney's, before his big book, Heartbreaking Work, Staggering Genius, he had Might Magazine, which was like my favorite magazine of all time. And I did a column for him for a couple of years, and it was random thoughts he was like the best boss, because I'm like, here's the idea, it's gonna be a bunch of random thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'll work on it on my computer, but I'm gonna write it, and I'm gonna do the column in handwriting, and every issue I'm gonna change the name of the column, so every issue was a different name, and it was just the best. And that was my foray and that grew into the book. I mean, there's a whole long story involving like not getting an agent and all the years of like dead ends, but like it went from that to writing.
But I've known you for so long, and when we come back, we'll take a quick break. Let's talk about the hustle, because that's something that I think pushes you or keeps you in a different category as other writers. So a lot of writers who can put out a volume of books, but your hustle and your just the ability to continue to put your ideas and execute the ideas that you come up with is what helps you stand apart. And textbook, Amy Cross Rosenthal is the name of Amy Cross Rosenthal's new book. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Millennium Park gig. Stay with us. This download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Amy Krauss Rosenthal, longtime Chicago writer. She's got a lot of books to her credit, including her new one that comes out next week called Textbook, Amy Krauss Rosenthal. Her book, it's kind of a follow-up to Encyclopedia of an Ordinary Life, which was her, memoir.
Alphabetized memoir.
There you go. Yep. That was 10 years ago. There's going to be a show, a gathering.
Gathering.
We're not going to call it a show. We're not going to call it a performance, although it will be, at Millennium Park at the Bean. Now, talk about this. This is you've had a tremendous you've had a lot of fun in your career playing off of numbers and 888. We did shows around the numbers and dates and the years. Yep. But what talk about putting this show together?
Okay, so I wanted to go back to the Bean. I wanted to kick off my book in a really special, different way. And it just seemed like, okay, I've got to do this. I'm going to go back to the Bean on August 9th, 8:09, and I'm going to be there for 12 hours. So that's the 8:09 a.m. to p.m. thing. And the idea is, you know, bring a sandwich and we'll chat. We're moving by the big picnic table, by the way. The big picnic table.
The big
table.
Not the small one, the big one.
Well, there's only one, but yeah. One huge picnic table by the Bean. Bring a sandwich, we'll chat, bring a ukulele, we'll sing, bring a book, we'll, you know, I'll sign it. Bring a pail, come solo, whatever. And I'm just sort of designing the day to be the kind of thing where around the clock there's all sorts of surprises and, like you said, some like mini performances and interacting with people that are there. And my intent, my hope is whether you come for 20 minutes, 2 hours, stay all day, you will have left feeling that you just experienced something memorable and meaningful.
I feel like that's at the core of your work, you know, that the meaningful and memorable. Like I know you've done a lot of different projects, and not just writing. I mean, from shows that we've done together or sort of mini radio programs like Writer's Block Party, there was always an emphasis on finding the meaning out of life or or sort of exploring the positivity and the optimism around us. Does that make sense?
I guess, yeah. I mean, okay, so. Yeah, I want to, this is, at its core, this is half a book launch, right? I want people to know about the book.
Sure.
I want them to,
sure.
You know, you can actually pre-order the book through Barbara's Bookstore and get the book delivered to the Bean that day. I can talk about that in a sec. But so, yes, there's the book element, of course. And then there's the piece, well, people may come to it because of that, or they may come for it for a different reason, but I want it to be bigger than that. I want them to, yes, enjoy the book and all that, but there's so much more, and let's just make this a big day of finding something really wonderful to kind of grab onto, experience, and walk away with.
Together. Because, you know, we worked together on projects outside of, I mean, we did video stuff and we did stuff with the blog where, you know, one of the ideas was we going, what was it, riding around nowhere.
The subway. Going nowhere fast.
Going nowhere fast, where you told people to meet on the Brown Line. Mm-hmm. We ran around the loop and we came back and it was sort of everyone was singing together and people showed up. I mean, there was something really great about the sense of community and the sense of optimism and this idea of almost putting to side cynicism and all the kind of, negative energy and be able to enjoy something together. And I feel like you've been an ambassador for that kind of thing.
Well, I do love the connecting thing. And that's a theme both at the event on Tuesday. There'll be a lot of that, of connecting with strangers there. Mm-hmm. And that's an element of the book as well. There's several ways that people are going to be interacting with the book. One thing we didn't talk about is that the book, the other wordplay of the title of Textbook is that this is the first book ever that has a phone number. And throughout the book are a dozen and a half texting interactions, right? And so you, the reader, in a lot of cases, you text the number and you get something back, a piece of music that goes with a section or maybe a video clip or an audio.
It's interactive.
But then there's other things that you send back as the reader to me, and it gets fed onto this website, textbookamykr.com. Which is where it becomes this connecting kind of community for all the readers. And there's a way to be matched with your fellow reader on the website.
Well, where does this idea come from for you? I mean, because interactivity has always been something that you've you've gone for. I mean, when we worked together, you always wanted to get feedback and people involved. But the idea of taking the way we communicate now, texting, and putting it into book form.
Gosh, I've been doing this interactive thing and connecting since like pre-internet. So like using a P.O. box to do stuff like this.
Right.
So it just turned out to be my lucky, you know,
technology has caught up to Amy Cross.
That I got to, yeah, I got that I exist during the internet. So that was convenient.
Right.
And yeah, so when writing in the process of writing this book, for example, one of the thoughts I had was, okay, imagine that there are a group of people that have all read this book. They share that, right? One thing that they share is that they've read this book. Well, that's a commonality that maybe is worth exploring, and that led me to be matched with, you go to the website, textmyamykr.com, and you answer four simple questions, and you get matched with two other readers. And a day later, you get an email where the three of you are introduced. And that's really, really exciting to me. And the thing is, it's not about me staying involved. Like, we make the introduction, send the email out, the three of you, who knows what happens, right? And I'm not part of that thread after that. I'm not asking to be kept in touch. I am just excited about pushing that little offering out and seeing what springs from it.
Right. There's a great line in the social studies part where you say, "When my life flashes before my eyes, I hope my subconscious turns out to be a skilled curator. It would be unfortunate to be stuck watching a montage of all those times I bent down to pick up those flimsy subscription cards that fall out of magazines." It's as you look, I mean, when you think about the writing that you put out and the projects that you choose to work on and the ideas you choose to execute, what keeps bringing you back to the idea of community, connectedness, and togetherness?
Justin, that's such a good question. I wish I had the perfect answer. All I can tell you is that when I sit down to write every day, and this has always been the case, it's what do I feel compelled to write? Also, what am I capable of writing, right? I mean, that's part of the process. There's a lot that I can't do. There's a lot that I can't write. What can I write? What do I want to write? What's the urge? And sometimes, you know, the passages are small moments and they might seem kind of silly or you know, very small. And other times I may tap into something that's bigger, grander, that is a universal truth about something. But whatever it is, you can be sure that I felt that was the sentence I needed to write that day.
For you, I mean, you said you work on multiple projects. This book is complete and it launches this week, textbook, mm-hmm. Amy Cross Rosenthal. What are some other things that you're working on and why have you not called me?
Other things. Well, I've got a bunch of kids' books in production coming out this year and next. I'm really excited about those two. So new kids' books. Finishing up a video with our buddy Steve Delahoy. That'll be out in a few weeks.
That's great.
So that's almost done. And
I saw you're going to be on a Baser show, interview show coming up in September.
September 2nd.
All right, there you go. Amy Cross Rosenthal. The book is called Textbook, Amy Cross Rosenthal. It comes out this Tuesday, August 9th, and there will be a gathering at the Bean Millennium Park from 8.09 a.m. to 8.09 p.m. to celebrate the launch of the book. You can pre-order the book at the website and have it there for you.
Yep.
There's a lot of interaction in this book and a lot of togetherness, and I appreciate it. Amy Cross Rosenthal, always great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Justin.
I've worked with Amy Cross Rosenthal since, I think it was 1996 we started, and we did a ton of projects. I've worked with, she mentioned Steve Delahoy. She does a lot of creative things in Chicago. Video projects we worked on. I don't know, man. She's creative and she's got this thing that she says, always trust magic. And in a way, I think Amy is magic. And she's done, the book's great, you know, the book she's done in the past. And I mean, her whole other life, which is the life that a lot of people probably know her from, is writing children's books. And we had her on last year talking about when one of them launched, the new one launched. But yeah, it's just amazing to me. I mean, and like I said, if you have kids and you read to said kids, you know Amy's work. Lil P is one of my son's favorites. And it's just great to have her here. She's a treasure in Chicago, and she really does have a national reputation. People from all around the world know her writing and her books and her work. And it's really great that she, even after that success, continues to try and bring people together. And that just seems to be her mission. Yeah, it's a good mission.